Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll learn about absentee voting in Minnesota, check in with the Minnesota Vietnam veterans, and see how our healthcare workers are doing at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
It goes without saying that mothers play an important role in our lives. They offer love and give us the strength to persevere when the going gets tough. In the military, we have mothers who serve proudly. They are dedicated, hardworking women who conquer the challenges of balancing military and family life while serving our country. And let us not forget all of the Gold Star mothers. These extraordinary women endure loss and pain that most of us will never know. Their children made the ultimate sacrifice for our nation, and we are forever grateful. This Mother's Day, I want to thank all the moms and grandmas out there. Your sacrifice and support are essential to accomplishing our mission. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Steve Simon is Minnesota's 22nd Secretary of State. He was sworn into his office on January 5, 2015, and as Minnesota's Chief Elections Administrator, pledged in his inaugural address to work with anyone of any political affiliation from any part of our state to protect, defend, and strengthen the right to vote in Minnesota. And he's joining us now, Secretary of State Steve Simon. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me back.
Mr. Secretary, since you're back on the show, we must be talking about voting because that's what we usually do. But before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit about the Secretary of State's office because you do much more than just oversee statewide elections. Could you enlighten our listeners as to what the job all entails to help businesses?
Yeah, absolutely. The biggest part of our office actually is not elections. It's what we're probably known most for, but that's not the biggest part. The biggest part is business services. So some of your listeners know who have businesses or have been involved in that area that anytime a business wants to get up and running, very likely the first thing they've got to do before they hire people, before they get a license or permit or anything, is to file the actual entity. What's it called? ABC Incorporated, whatever. You got to do that through our office and the Secretary of State's office. And we have a lot of other business-related filings, too, whether it has to do with financing statements or taxes or all other manner of business documents, we handle that. So we kind of like to think of ourselves as the welcome mat for Minnesota businesses because it's that first step. And what we try to do too is find ways for free or nearly free to add value to businesses and the business community as well through the use of data and surveys and databases that can help people to grow their reach, grow their audience, and so forth.
So a very busy audience, our office, and I know, sir, that I go in and do some annual filings to let you know that a couple of my entities are still alive and well. And anytime you do a name change or any of those other things, there are forms to fill out and get filed at your office.
Yeah, that's right. We're kind of the clearinghouse. And some of that stuff is available to the public just so they can check on who's an existing business, who's still in good standing. But that's right. Typically, a business has to annually renew after they file, just so we have a sense of who the businesses are. And for you, the benefit of your listeners, we have somewhere between, at this point, as we're talking, about 600,000 and 700,000 individual entities. They can be all sizes. They can be a Fortune 500 company. It could be a one-person operation. But that's how many freestanding, separate business entities we have in Minnesota.
So you must have a lot of great state employees working for you over there in St. Paul.
They are top-notch. I got to tell you, every month I get emails, and we compile these emails over the month, and this isn't my doing. I wish I could claim credit. But we have some folks in the office who are really good at guiding people over the phone through some of this paperwork. You know, no one loves to fill out government paperwork. I don't, you don't, your listeners don't. But if you have to do it, if it's a requirement of state law, you want someone who can kind of guide you, make sure you don't make any mistakes. And our folks are really, really good at that, really good at that human touch. And guiding people through the easiest, best way so they can get on their way running their business and not spending their time on government paperwork.
We're speaking with Minnesota's Secretary of State, Steve Simon, on Minnesota Military Radio. And, Mr. Secretary, how has the COVID-19, how has the pandemic affected you and all of those great employees over at your office?
Well, we are basically mostly moved to home at this point. 90%+ of our office is now working from their homes, and that's actually worked really well, and productivity has not suffered. We've stayed steady by constant communications. There are some folks in our office, like a lot of folks in the offices of your listeners, I suspect, who have to physically go there. Things, very basic things like filing stuff that comes in the office or sorting the mail or things like that. But apart from that, we're mostly at this point stay at home, and it's worked out fine. Can't do it forever. We don't want to do it forever. But for now, it's working out really well. And hats off to the employees, not just in our office, but public and private sector, who are having to turn their lives around, many of whom have kids or other responsibilities at home, and they're somehow making it work. So hats off to all of them.
Mr. Secretary, we're in a national election year. In November, we've got an election coming up that will include presidential and national spots. At the last national election, there was a lot of written about the fact that some of the election systems in various states were compromised somehow. Did that happen in Minnesota? And I'm sure you've taken actions to make sure it won't happen this year.
Yeah, 2016 was big in that way. Minnesota was one of 21 states that was targeted for some sort of infiltration by a foreign government. But thank goodness in Minnesota, nothing bad happened. We kept the bad guys out. The systems worked. The defenses worked. But it was a big message to everyone all over that you got to really get your house in order. So we've spent the last 4 years working really closely with the intelligence community, with FBI counterintelligence, with Department of Homeland Security and others. They come into our office now regularly with a team of people, camp out for a week, an entire work week, and basically try to hack us, try to find the vulnerabilities and soft spots. And then they write up a report. That report has recommendations, and they're expensive, but we follow every one of them. We're not messing around. If they recommend it and it seems sound to us and doable, we do it. I don't want to give a roadmap to the bad guys here, but let's just say that we're doing the things that they recommend. So I feel good about where we are. No institution, whether it's a military force or Secretary of State or Target or U.S. Bank, no one can say there's 100% chance that everything's going to go smoothly. No one can in this area of cyber insecurity. But I can say we're minimizing the risk. We're following the advice and the guidance of the federal authorities, including intelligence authorities. And I feel very good about where we are. One other thing I would say is we're ahead of the game in Minnesota because we're a paper ballot state. Your listeners know if they've voted and been to a polling place or voted absentee, we're good old-fashioned pen and paper. We're not like some of those states that have touchscreen-only voting with no receipt. They just press a bunch of buttons. In Minnesota, you got something you can touch and feel and see. So even if someone tries to mess around with that stuff, you have the ultimate evidence afterwards. You can always go back and check because we've got good old-fashioned paper. So that puts us in a good spot.
Mr. Secretary, historically, Minnesotans show up on voting day and cast their ballot. What are you expecting for turnout this year?
Well, we got a record and a reputation to uphold. The last two elections in a row, in 16 and 18, we were number one in the country in voter turnout. So we got our honor to defend. Hopefully we can make it a three-peat and three times number one in a row. But apart from all of that, I think turnout's going to be high. It always is in a presidential election. People feel passionately on all sides, and I think that's going to continue. I think the wild card is what effect, if any, will the pandemic have? Will we still be in the situation in November? Will there be a wave two, as some people are predicting might happen? So we got to be good and ready for that, and we're doing the planning now, assuming that that will be the case. That's the safest, smartest way to do it. So we're planning for that. That's the wild card, but I'm an optimist. Minnesotans really want to vote, regardless of political persuasion, and I think we have the systems in place to let them do that in a variety of ways. They can show up at the polling place if they want. They can order a ballot to come to them at home if they want, under current law, and we just got to get those options out there so people know what they are so they can vote in whatever secure and safe way they feel is best for them.
Mr. Secretary, we just got about a minute left in this segment. Will you have information on the choices, those running for office, available this year?
Yeah, actually, we have a great feature on our website. And our website, by the way, is mnvotes.org, mnvotes.org. And if you go there, in terms of those running for office, you can type in your address. That is, if you've got one stateside, and you can type in your address, and it'll tell you who's on your ballot. And then there are links to that person's website. So at least you can hear about the candidates in their own words, from their own websites and from their own mouth, by going on our website. If you don't know who or what is on your ballot, just just type in your address, and it has a My Ballot feature that just tells you, here are the 12 races or the 20 races or whatever, and here are the candidates, and links right to their websites.
MNvote.org. Thank you very much, sir. When we come back, I want to talk about absentee voting with Secretary of State Steve Simon. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking today with Steve Simon, Minnesota's Secretary of State, about all of the great things that happen over at Secretary of State's office to take care of businesses. And what we want to talk about in this segment is voting. And, Mr. Secretary, we kind of touched on it in the first segment, the fact that this pandemic, this COVID-19, has hit the world, and of course it's hit Minnesota, and there's stay-at-home orders, a lot of people staying in their houses, and all of your employees are working remotely, and we've got a few months, 5 months or so between now and the election. What are people going to do if they're still worried about going out and being in contact with people when it comes time to vote in November?
Yeah, well, fortunately, we've got a fix for that right now in Minnesota law. And I think what you're going to see over the next 6 months is our office and many others kind of ramping up that approach for people who want it. They don't have to do it, but and that is to basically order an absentee ballot to come to you at home. You don't need an excuse or an explanation anymore like you did several years ago. Any Minnesotan who's eligible to vote and registered to vote can simply go to that website, mnvotes.org, mnvotes.org, and they can order the ballot to come to them, vote from the comfort of their own home, and send it back. And the rule is, it's just got to get back there by election day, not postmarked by, like some government processes. It's got to get there by. So you could hand deliver it to your city hall or county if you're living there, or you can just drop it in the mail and you can track it like you can a UPS package or a FedEx package or anything like that. So you'd be able to do that this year like you would the last few elections as well. MNvotes.org. If you're uncomfortable going to a polling place, or for whatever reason, you'd just rather have a little extra time to Google the candidates and do it from your couch, you can order that ballot to come to you at mnvotes.org.
So, Mr. Secretary, how soon would you expect that those ballots would be complete and available?
Well, you can start ordering it on May 13th. So starting May 13th, anyone can start ordering their ballots. But we do have, we do recommend that people get them in as soon as possible. And you can start voting 46 days before any election. So starting in the third week in September, folks are going to be able to, I think it's Friday, September 18th, actually, for this coming general election, is the first day of the absentee ballot period. So you can order now. It'll come to you at or around September 18th, if you're stateside, if you're nearby. And then you can send that in any day between 46 days before the election, September 18th, and the actual election on November 3rd. But again, the key is it's got to get there by November 3rd, not postmark. It's got to get there.
So for any of our listeners that are concerned about going to a crowded polling place and voting this fall in November, anytime after May, they can go to mnvote.org and ask you, apply for a ballot. And they're essentially right. Registering to vote at that point, and you send them a ballot, and then they can fill that out in the comfort of their own home. They'll get it sometime around Friday, September 18th, and just turn it around and get it back to you so that you receive it prior to Election Day. Is that the rule?
Exactly right. And it's MNVotes with an S, MNVotes.org.
MNVotes with an S.org. Now, Mr. Secretary, I've heard people ask the question, you know, they've absentee voted in the past and they've sent them in maybe a week or 2 weeks before the election, and they always kind of wonder, did my absentee vote get counted?
Mm-hmm.
What's the rule for that? What's the procedure?
Yeah, the procedure is you can track it just like you can a package that you send or a FedEx parcel or anything like that. There's a number attached to it. And you hold on to that number, and you can log in and figure out whether they've received it and whether they processed your vote. So you have that peace of mind. You're not left hanging or wondering whether they ever got your ballot or it was lost in the mail. And that's a nice, handy feature just to make sure folks know and aren't guessing.
Mr. Secretary, I got a feeling you're going to get a lot of requests for absentee ballots this year for people that are not comfortable going out, maybe senior citizens that fit that over 65 and maybe have some maladies of some one kind or another and say, wow, a lot safer to do this at home. So once again, they go to MinnesotaVotesWithAnS.org.
Right, mnvotes.org. And we are exactly right. We are expecting a surge in requests for all the obvious reasons. We think people will want to play it safe. We think people will want to plan ahead. And we and the counties and the cities who process them are really expecting that there's going to be a huge increase in people opting for that option.
We're speaking with Minnesota Secretary of State Steve Simon on Minnesota Military Radio. Mr. Secretary, I want to focus now a little bit on the military. As I'm sure you are aware, here in Minnesota, the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard have been deployed quite a bit. We've got troops over in the Middle East. We've got some being prepared to go to Africa, some to Guantanamo. They're going out to the desert in California. We're going to have troops all over the world this fall and this summer and this fall. Are there special rules for our deployed military?
There sure are, as there should be. We have shortcuts in federal and state law which help deployed military, and they don't even have to be overseas. As long as they're away from their precinct, from their home precinct, it can be, 50 miles away, 100 miles away, 1,000 miles away, whatever. If they're deployed, not only they, but their spouses and their dependents, if they're eligible, are also eligible for this as well. And all you need to go to that website, mnvotes.org, mnvotes.org, and you can find out more. The rules are simple. You have to apply for your ballot online. You can do that online, or if you feel more comfortable wherever you are in the world, you can download a paper application if that's what makes you feel better about the process. And you don't have to do it for every election in the same calendar year. So, for example, we got a primary election coming up in August and the November election. Or maybe one of your listeners lives in a place where there's a special election or a school board election. It's a one-stop shop. You sign up once, and all your ballots are entitled to the shortcut. And the shortcut is that you have the opportunity to get your ballot sent to you electronically. You can't send it back electronically. You can't fax it or email it back. But at least in the one way, unlike everyone else, the shortcut is you can have the ballot emailed to you. And that saves a lot of time in terms of the postage and the time for those who are deployed to read and assess and vote that ballot. Now, the same rule does apply. You have to get it back the old-fashioned paper way, and it's got to get back by November. So we have recommendations, and that's all they are. We can't make anyone do this. But in terms of mailing for the November general election, the safest thing for those who are overseas as opposed to deployed elsewhere, if you're not in the United States and you're deployed overseas, we recommend that you send it back roughly a month before the election. You don't have to. It's just a better safe than sorry recommendation. So if folks could possibly get their ballots back, or in the mail at least, by Friday, October 2nd. Friday, October 2nd, the general election is on Tuesday, November 3rd. That's our rough recommendation. Doesn't mean that if you send it afterwards, it's not going to get here, but just to be safe. That is our all-purpose recommendation, and not just us, but all the states as well. That's our recommendation. But in terms of getting the ballot, you're going to get it earlier than almost any other folks if you're deployed military and you're away from home, foreign or domestic.
So for our military, go to MinnesotaVotes.org, apply online for your ballot, vote in September, get it in the mail before the end of the month, and hopefully it'll get over to Secretary of State's office so it's counted on Election Day, November 3rd. Mr. Secretary, one other thing I noticed on your website, that you've got an item called Vote in Honor of a Veteran.
That's right. Vote in Honor of a Veteran was started by my predecessor, Secretary Mark Ritchie, and it is just that. It's an ability for someone to formally dedicate their vote to someone in their lives, could be a parent, could be a sibling, could be a son or daughter, who has served, who has worn the uniform. For me, I've done it for my father. My late father was an Army veteran. He always said the best education he ever got in his life was in the United States Army, and he was an educated guy, but he said that was the best ever. So I vote in honor of him, but anyone can go to mnvotes.org and have it cataloged that you are dedicating your vote to a particular veteran that you know in your life. It's a way, a very small way, to pay tribute to those who put on the uniform.
So, Mr. Secretary, it sounds like anything and everything you need for voting is at mnvotes.org. Information on the candidates, a way to get your ballot if you're deployed in the military, and a way to get a ballot mailed to home if you'd want to vote from home this year.
That's correct.
Mr. Secretary, I enjoy our visits every year and look forward to hearing about all the new ways to vote, and I hope we have a new record again this year.
Me too. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And thanks to all your listeners.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us today. That was Minnesota's Secretary of State, Steve Simon, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to visit with our Minnesota Vietnam veterans. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to check in with Minnesota's Vietnam veterans. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Today, I'd like to spend a few moments recognizing mothers across Minnesota. These mothers might be veterans, they might be currently serving in harm's way, or they might have suffered the loss of their son or daughter in the service of this country. This is a time when the community comes together to acknowledge and thank mothers for their love, guidance, and nurturing. The influence of mothers has a tremendous impact on families and society overall. Whatever your situation, I want to thank you for the role you have played in the lives of our children and families across Minnesota. On behalf of everyone here at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and the veterans across this great state, I wish you fun and joyous day of celebration.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Bob Behrens from the Minnesota Vietnam Veterans of America. He's a past president of Chapter 290 and the chairman of the St. Cloud Stand Down. Bob, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thanks for having me back, Tom. It's been a while. Thank you.
Has been a while, and we missed having you on the show. Everything going all right up in St. Cloud?
Outstanding. We're all good. We're healthy. We just keep, you know, one day at a time. And everything is good up here at St. Cloud. Yeah.
All right. Now, Bob, and on past the times when you were on the show, you were giving us some updates on Agent Orange. Is there any new news on that for us?
No, it's not. You know, the results of their four presumptions, it's still sitting on the desk of the commissioner. Of course, this is election year, so hopefully that'll get off dead center and get signed. They've been sitting there for about 3 years. It's imperative and important that these get signed and get into the system, because there's a lot of Vietnam veterans that can use this. You know, Blue Water and Brown Water Navy, those bills have passed, and they've been very successful in helping our fellow Navy veterans, our brothers there and sisters, but not too much. You know, the gentleman who runs it, Maynard Cadillac, he's the chairman, national chairman, and he's from Minnesota. He still has slowed down a little bit because of what's going on with the virus as far as town hall meetings. But, it's still good. I mean, we did lose funding for the research on children of Agent Orange. And so that was a setback. So hopefully we'll be lobbying and try to get that funding back for additional research on children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren of Agent Orange. But
Try to see what the effects of the Agent Orange were on future generations. I know we've been working on that for a long time. But
yeah,
those four presumptives, we need everybody to get a hold of their national elected officials and ask them to move that forward before our fellow Vietnam veterans die without getting coverage for that, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This needs to stay at the forefront, and I know National is always working on it, and it's something that it's imperative. We need to find out what's going on with our children and our future generations. Yep. So.
Very good, Bob. Can you tell me the St. Cloud Stand Down? I understand this is the 23rd year?
Yes, sir. Yeah, our mission is veterans helping veterans. We have a campus, three-bedroom campus in St. Cloud that we moved into last June. Last year we helped 935 veterans. We give them a bag of basics, which is a duffel bag of clothes and shoes. Give them a brand new pair of shoes, T-shirts, underwear, whatever they need. Then we help them. We can help them find shelter. We can help them find an apartment. We help them find jobs. We have a haircut program where they come in and get their haircut. We have the Ladies V Boutique, which is strictly for lady veterans everything a lady veteran needs as far as clothing and everything. So, yes, that program's going real well. We're going real strong. Of course, we're not seeing the numbers so far this year because the VA in St. Cloud is shut down, and we get a lot of clients from the VA. But we've still had, I think the numbers are 225 so far this year. But it's a good, solid program. It's the only program like this, I think, in Minnesota. And we have this fall will be our 37th annual Stand Down and Job Expo. And that's a huge gathering. We get 275 to 300 veterans coming in through there. We have about 50 to 54 organizations and companies come in. And whatever the veterans' needs or issues or concerns are, we're kind of the resource center for for all these issues. So, yeah, that's a good program. It's an outstanding program, and well, everybody's all the best of the best volunteers are very proud to be part of that. So, yeah,
good work, you know. Bob. I know you've got your own medical issues due to Agent Orange, but I also know you feel strongly about that stand down, and you've been working hard on it for a long time. So, congratulations.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. It's a lot of great, great people that work on this every day. Every day. Like I say, the best of the best volunteers show up, and we work with veterans one-on-one, and we're a huge resource center. I venture to say we're probably the original veteran resource center in the St. Cloud area. We work with all different organizations. We didn't reinvent the wheel, but we work with MACB, we work with DEED, we work with all these, you know, we work closely with the VA, we work with all these organizations to help veterans reintegrate back into society and get their, so when they leave, stand down, they leave with their boots on the ground and their mission ready for life. They know what they're doing. And it's a great program, Tom.
Very good, sir. We're speaking with Bob Behrens from the Minnesota Vietnam Veterans of America on Minnesota Military Radio. Bob, we just got a few minutes left. I know that there's an event coming up in Fairmont, Chapter 832, the dedication of a Vietnam Cobra gunship, August 1st.
Yes, that's outstanding. This is the original Vietnam Cobra gunship that really flew in Vietnam. These organization has tracked down the original pilots, the two pilots that flew this Cobra. They also found the widow of the door gunner. Her husband died of complications of Agent Orange at the age 37. But these pilots were with the 7th of the 17th Air Cav, both B and C companies. They're going to have the parade's going to start at 9 a.m., and dedication's going to be around 10:30, 11 o'clock at Fairmont. It's going to be an all-day celebration. Vietnam Helicopter Pilot Association is going to be there, Purple Heart, Mother's Purple Heart. There's going to be a lot of great organizations, and it's going to be an outstanding program. This is kind of the highlight of the year for Vietnam veterans down there. They've been working very hard. I just talked to Steve last week, and they've got the concrete pad is done. The column is ready to go in. The chopper is all painted back to the original. There's quite a history to this when I left Vietnam, but I won't go into that. But yeah, this is quite a program. It's going to be there. So that's August 1st down in Fairmont. It's going to start. Parade's going to start at 9:30. So yeah, anybody and everybody that was in Vietnam, you're welcome. You're invited to come down and take a look at it.
Bob, if you're down there, you're going to have to keep your social distance now.
Yes, sir.
COVID-19 says sure you got to keep 6 feet.
Yeah. I'm sure everybody's going to be doing that. You know, us Vietnam veterans, we really pay attention to orders.
All right, now, Mr. Behrens, you got to pay attention. We just got a few seconds left. If our Vietnam veterans want to get an update and find out the newest information or the latest on Agent Orange, where do they go?
Vietnam Veterans of America .com. They can get a hold of myself. They can get the best chance as Vietnam Veterans of America. And just type in the word Agent Orange, and you will have so much research and places to go. It's amazing. But, yeah.
Very good, sir. Bob, I want to take the time to call in today, and take care of yourself. I look forward to seeing you soon.
I will do that, sir. Thank you again for your time, and you, Tom, and your staff. You be well. You do good, and God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. That was Bob Behrens, the past president of Chapter 290 of Minnesota's Vietnam Veterans of America on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to check in with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In this segment, we've got a special guest with us, Patrick Kelly, who's the director of the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. Director Kelly, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Yeah, hi, Tom. Thanks for having me back.
Director, it's always good to talk to you, but in this pandemic season that we're having, that nobody expected, worldwide pandemic, it's come home to the United States, it's hit Minnesota, it's hit the VA, and things aren't operating what we'd call normal, let's say, this time last year. Can you give us an update on COVID-19 and how that's impacting the Minneapolis VA healthcare system?
I'd be happy to do that, and as you point out, these are some incredibly odd times, and this pandemic is, it seems like we're sort of confronting many things for the first time that we, you know, just hadn't in prior work, and so it's caused a lot of rethinking about the way we do things and how we communicate with veterans and how we provide our services. And so, you know, we're almost 2 months into it now, 7 or 8 weeks into it, and you know, we started over here by increasing our screening of people coming in the building and limiting visitors and we've changed the way we do services. You know, we have, as you know, we've canceled or rescheduled many of our elective, you know, non-urgent surgeries, and we have asked many of the veterans who used to come in for their primary care and specialty medicine appointments and rehabilitative services to call us first and see if we can't provide them that service in a different way. And so, you know, we're a couple months into it now, and I would say relatively stable, you know, on the way we're doing things now. So our efforts, really, while we have, sort of stood back on some of the service offerings that we had and doing them another way, we've used this time to build capacity. So, you know, as your listeners have heard the governor talk about many times, what we're really trying to do here is buy some time. And while we're putting off, the big surge, we are using this as a time to, build capacity. And here at the Minneapolis VA, what I'm talking about is we've increased our training opportunities for nurses that maybe hadn't worked in a certain area for a while. We have purchased new equipment, and so think about ventilators and things like that that you hear about that are needed to treat the sickest patients. We've increased our personal protective equipment, again, something you hear about in the news quite a lot that has caused concern for healthcare workers, so really everywhere. It's not a VA thing. That's an everywhere thing.
Do you have adequate supplies,
Director? Yeah, we've done a lot of facility changes, and so it's all really geared towards preparing for a surge while at the same time trying to make sure we're taking care of the veterans' needs every day.
So have you been able to secure adequate supplies of the personal protection equipment, sir?
You know, that's a bit of a tricky question, Tom. I think what I would say about that is that, you know, we absolutely have enough personal protective equipment to take care of today's patients. And then what we are ensuring is that we have what we think we will need in the event of a surge. And so you know, we have done a couple of things in concert with what the Center for Disease Control and Prevention has recommended, to include extended use of masks and wearing of face shields and actually universal masking in our facility. So that means all of our staff are wearing masks. And so we have enough. We have alternate sources, contingency, you know, again, working in the largest healthcare system in our country. You know, the VA has alternate means of securing personal protective equipment. I would say that we do have enough, although we have extended use on some things in order to make sure that we are fully prepared to meet what could be a much worse push if it comes to a big surge here in our state.
Director, I've heard that you've got the Minneapolis VA Medical Center divided into hot and cold zones.
Yeah. So one of the things we did early, Tom, is we wanted to create a pathway in our hospital so that when veterans are suspected of having the coronavirus, we had a pathway so they could get to that assessment. And the way we do that, we established an acute respiratory clinic and then get them up to one of our wards or inpatient areas where they could get the services they need while minimally impacting other sites or patients or staff in our hospital. In the same way, we've dedicated staff to those areas, too, so that we're not having our staff, for the most part, working between hot and cold zones. And so the ones that are working in the hot zones are sort of the most impacted by way of staff, but they also become the most skilled in terms of how they wear their personal protective equipment and treat patients who are sicker with the COVID. That has been caused us to reshape and to sort of shuffle where we provided services. And in our hospital, it used to be the third floor was mostly medicine and the second floor was mostly surgery. And, you know, now we have basically turned the third floor and a couple of other areas into our hot zone. And our second floor is the cold zone. And again, that's intended to protect patients and staff in order that, we minimize any potential spread in our hospital.
We're speaking with Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Director, for your veterans that might need some help from the Minneapolis VA, are we still at a point where they should call first if they think they need to come to the hospital?
You know, Tom, we do recommend that they call first, and I will just, if you don't mind, I'll just mention that it's 866-414-5058. And I would always caveat that with saying that any veteran who thinks that they're having some sort of an emergency or something they can't wait to get to a hospital, get to our hospital, get to some hospital. Don't stay away from hospitals if you need emergent care. If you're not sure, or, you know, calling that number, what we can do is we can help with what we think to be the appropriate next step. And so, it may be directing you to get to an emergency room or maybe to go to the hospital. It may be telling you that, you know, those are sort of normal symptoms that you would experience and that the best thing for you to do is to stay home and to socially distance yourself and maybe self-quarantine. I would hate to see, and I hear stories in the public about people staying away from hospitals when they're sick and only returning when they're just absolutely so sick that it hampers their recovery. So if you're sick, really sick, get to the emergency room. If you can wait, if it's not urgent, call that number. And veterans should remember that with the Mission Act, we have that new urgent care benefit. And so they can always go to one of those urgent care locations, you know, sometimes a CVS, sometimes maybe a Walgreens, you know, places that have urgent care where veterans can get an urgent care appointment, again, without having to come to the hospital.
And, of course, telemedicine can help speed those things up, and you're still open for business, and I hope you get back to business as usual soon, sir. We've just got a few minutes left. I want to ask you about if you're still hiring. I know that there's some nurses and doctors and some other folks. A lot of people have been unemployed due to this pandemic, and there's probably some great nurses out there that could use the security of working for you at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center.
You know, one of the great things about working for the VA is one, we have a terrific mission of taking care of veterans, but secondly, you know, we are not furloughing staff. We are not laying off people, and we don't have those pressures, those revenue pressures that all of our community hospitals are facing these days who are really losing a lot of money. Fortunately for us, you know, we don't have that same concern. I mean, we want to be responsible stewards, but at the same time, that has allowed us to prepare better, and also we have been hiring because, you know, we anticipate that we will have greater need. And so whether you're a nurse, we've hired student nurses. You know, some of the schools have discontinued. University of Minnesota and others are not having classes now, but their nurses still need clinical work and rotations. And so we've hired, on a temporary basis, nurses to come over here and do that kind of work, physicians who who want to have a more stable environment. Maybe let's say they're maybe they're a traveling physician or traveling nurse, and traveling ain't what it used to be anymore. So they want a more stable environment. So we are absolutely hiring at the VA, and it's a good time again to be a federal worker, and maybe in the not just now but in the future, because we bring some stability that to the work environment that sometimes is difficult to replicate in a for-profit environment in the private sector.
So, sir, if there are listeners out there, they're doctors and nurses and thinking about working at the medical center or one of your outpatient clinics, well, how do they start? Where do they find out about the jobs?
Yeah, so one of the things that I would always recommend is that we have our website, www.minneapolisva.gov. People can always go there, and that'll give you some touch points where you can query. There's a national website called USA Jobs, but again, I think a better approach would be a local thing where they go to our website, see where they can click on, and like I say, we hire, because of this pandemic, we've been given some additional authorities to hire more quickly than we had in the past, and so we've accelerated that. So go to the website. That can get you started, and it'll get you a point of contact, and we can take it from there.
So the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, go to the website, look up some of the jobs, and go out there and help Kelly, of all our veterans here in Minnesota, either at the hospital or one of the clinics. And, Director, I hope you and all your people are staying safe out there. It's always great to talk to you, and I look forward to a chance to come visit soon.
Thanks, Tom, and you stay safe as well.
Thank you, sir. That was Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. We have one message today. I got an email from Randall Dietrich from the Minnesota Military Museum reminding me to recognize the 75th anniversary of VE Day, which is May 8th, the 75th anniversary of Victory in Europe, or VE Day. More than 320,000 Minnesotans served in World War II. The Minnesota Military Museum recently acquired 32 acres to serve as a campus for a brand new facility near Little Falls and expand its from its current Camp Ripley location. Please ask your elected officials to vote for House File 2025 and Senate File 2351 to fund construction of the new museum. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Secretary of State Steve Simon, Bob Behrens from the Vietnam Veterans of America, Director Pat Kelly, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we meet the team behind last week's F-16 flyovers and get an update from Tee It Up from the Troops. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.